100 Word Stories.
Good morning, everyone. From the land of coughing and sneezing and dripping and all sorts of other disgusting things, this is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. And boy, don't I feel like it. Well, let's keep this weekly challenge going. It's not like a hurricane has hit. Let's see. I've posted the topic of cool. Should be cold. And you send in the stories. Well, that's a good arrangement. How about we get going? I'm not going to have too much of a ramble in between the stories. I'm not feeling up to it. But that just means you get to focus on the great stories on this show, week in and week out. First up, we have John Musico. John, please, cover for me.
New Jersey Physician Loses His Mind by John Musico, MD. I ran my garage summer convertible on the driveway to maintain the battery. The removable hardtop is too heavy to put back on during the winters. I fell asleep. Snowed that night. Ran out of gas. Key turned, the battery died. After AAA's gallon and a jump, I had to get more gas. Quick. I dug out a hole in the driver's seat. Drove to the gas station, top off, car and hair full of snow. The gas station attendant's only conclusion is, I totally lost my mind. Top down, drove till I ran low on gas. He approached the car cautiously.
Thank you, John. Ah, even my mouse hand hurts. Ah, this whole getting old thing. I know there are some of you who have a few more years on me, but... oh, man, I'm getting a good sampler pack of it. Well... how about we head over to Jeffrey? Jeffrey, do you have any chicken soup for me?
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 417 on the topic of cool. I've got three stories for you today. The first one is simply called Cool. I'm the boss man. I'm the epitome of cool. Frank leaned back in his chair and fiddled with the lever to no avail. You can call me Lil Easy Daddy Puffy, because I'd da bomb. He made several hand motions that had no apparent meaning. Megan stared at her father. Daddy, I'm 8, not stupid. Daddies are not cool, and you can't come with us to see Hunter Hayes. Caitlin's mom is driving, and she's cool. Well, I didn't really want to go anyway. You and Caitlin have a good time. Inwardly, however, Frank pouted. My second story is called Too Cool. For years, Alan complained he was too hot in his office at the cryogenic storage firm. His boss tried to accommodate Alan by turning down the thermostat, but that just made everyone else cranky and didn't satisfy Alan, who demanded further drops in the temperature. Fed up with the complaints and lawsuit threats, Alan's boss took matters into his own hands. He dragged Alan from his office to the cryogenic chamber, throwing the protesting employee inside and bolting shut the door. "I hope that's cool enough for you," he bellowed, twisting the thermostat as far to the left as it would go. Well, that second story is at least partially based on an employee at my agency who years ago had a doctor's note that said he had some medical condition that required a low temperature in his office. And so when we moved buildings, they installed a personal air conditioner for the guy. And so he sat in there with the temperature about 60 degrees, 58 degrees, something like that, year-round, short sleeves on. And it's kind of hard to visit the guy. Right before this most recent office move that we're going to have, I suspect that they told him that there was no way he was getting his air conditioner in the place he was moving to, and so he chose to retire. So, Alan, this one's for you. My third story is called Drinking the Kool-Aid. They promised health insurance to all, at low cost, despite mandating all sorts of goodies that drove up cost and despite higher demand. To that end, they canceled millions of policies, dumped millions more into Medicaid, which is not an insurance plan, and imposed penalties on those who did not comply. Unsurprisingly, rates rose and will rise still further as adverse selection becomes evident. Net enrollment barely changed despite the millions spent and the threats and scolding. Individuals lost long-term relationships with their doctors. They called it a resounding success. The spirit of Jim Jones lives on. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Now, I'm going to confess something. I'm not listening to these before I do these little bumpers, okay? I know I should be reacting. If you've got any important questions, I am going to hear them when I listen to this in the tub after I'm done putting this together. I don't want you guys to wait too long to hear this in the morning or the afternoon, or I guess you'd wind up hearing it during the week or maybe at a funeral or a wedding or during the ball game. My God, the Astros. What the... gross. Chad Qualls. Man. I was looking forward to him coming back. I guess he had his best days when... Oh, wait. When were his best days? How about we head over to Richard and keep this going?
Good morning. Actually, not that good. I must warn you, I'm in a bad mood because my car is broken and it's going to cost a lot of money to fix. Who needs brakes anyway? Let's move on. This is George's story. Part 54. Uncool. George frowned at Emily, waving away the proffered reefer. That's not cool, you know. What's the harm in it, she countered. Society is crumbling around us. I hardly think smoking a little weed is that big a deal right now. George sighed. She had a point. But he couldn't help feeling that they should keep their wits about them, considering the circumstances. The last thing they wanted was to be stoned if they were about to be attacked by zombies. He told her as much. What zombies? She asked truculently, blew smoke in his face, and walked out of the room. And now I appear to have also broken audacity. Well, that's just great. Okay, second attempt at my second story. It's called Cool. How do you measure cool? It was an interesting question. Possibly one of the most entertaining the sociology class had faced. If nothing else, it gave an excuse to undertake some rather questionable activities in dubious locations and mix with some fairly radical characters, all in the name of research. Eventually we settled, for no reason other than it was a cool thing to do, on using the Celsius scale. Paradoxically, the hotter we rated something, the cooler it was considered. The teacher thought our idea was a good 85 degrees Celsius. Pretty damn cool, I reckon. This last story is called Defrosted. When the freezers fused, all hell broke loose. It seems no one had realised the backup generators were on the same circuit. Typically, it happened over the holiday, so the first we knew about it was on the Tuesday morning, after the long weekend. The smell warned us something had gone badly wrong, and when we checked the instruments, our worst fears were realised. At best, the cryo chambers could be described as cool. They should have been frozen solid. As for the bodies inside, preserved for future reawakening, mush. Such a shame, I thought. Pouring Walt Disney's remains down the toilet. And thank goodness that's over. I shall leave you now to go and wallow in self-pity. Speak to you all next week. Goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. And okay, I may not be hearing these, but I am reading the text of them here on the show notes. And reminder, if you can't understand or if you have a horrible code, man, talk less, edit more. Oh, man. It's one of those days. I wouldn't call it a vacation crud, because I did have a little bit of sniffle when I got back. Then I was cleared up, and then wham! Wow. Goes around, comes around. And by the way, instead of chicken soup, the best cure, beef jerky. Yeah, that'll float that one by your doctor. Okay. Tura, you got one here? That one last week was kind of a mind twister. Oh, well, here's Tura.
This story on the subject of cool is called Lost In, First Out. Nowadays, we can easily freeze and revive someone. But before quantum entanglement cooling was invented, cryonicists would infuse every cell of the body with toxic antifreeze, then store it in liquid nitrogen. We've just got to where we can revive mice frozen that way. Maybe in 10 years we can start reviving the people. Back in the early 21st century, they just pumped antifreeze into the bloodstream and hoped. Every cell membrane shattered when they froze the bodies. In theory, they're still revivable, but in practice, it's a century away, as it has been for the 3 centuries since then.
Ah, get that one. Okay. Ah, thank you, Tora. I'm looking at the screen, and my eyes are so foggy, I see tuna, and it's like, what? No, that's an R. Tuna isn't a part of this. Although you would say that terms of service would be fricked out, and Shava would get all geeky, whatever, and then come crawling back. Now remember, folks, it's okay if you come crawling back to this show after being away for a year or two, after leaving on some sort of imaginary principles, and then, okay, he's going to come back, oh, you inspired it, whatever. Folks come, folks go, they try, they write. Maybe they try and write elsewhere. They come up with cool stuff there. They come up with cool stuff here. Maybe it's just not their format. Maybe it is their format. How do you know until you give it a try? And then you try it. It's like, okay, cool. Yay, I did it. I walked across the coals. Yay, I did it. I finally cleaned my underwear. Speaking of which, I need to do laundry. Or I could go shopping for underwear. That's the easiest way to do laundry. Throw it in the dumpster. Man, after this week. How about we go with Jeff? Jeff Hema. I mean, I want to make sure that I'm using the right name. Some people use one name. Some use another. I'm like, oh, crap, I'm not supposed to use that name. I'm supposed to use this name. I try to name people correctly in my little folder here. I receive the emails, strip out the story, put it in the show notes, get the link right if I can. Then I save the file into Weekly Challenge Project. I rename them 01, 02, 03, 04. And I give them the name that's supposed to call them. You see? You gotta have a system. Which I screw up at least once a week. Possibly more. Oh, right. Jeff's story.
Hi there, this is Jeff Hema, and today's story is on the topic cool. Yeah. That wasn't cool. A neighbor living 2 blocks away strangely started to strike up a conversation whenever our paths crossed. Can you get me an appointment on the internet at the prefecture? Sure, swing by my house in the evening. Later, he wanted me to order a book on Amazon. I said I didn't have a credit card, so he gave me his. A week later, I called him. Did you get the book? Yes. By the way, can you come along with me to the prefecture? Because my English is poor. Sorry, I can't hear you. Do you hear me? Bye.
Thank you, Jeff. And I've learned a valuable lesson today, which is the more mucus and phlegm and stuff that you cough up and you sneeze out, the easier it is to toss the used tissue into the waste bin. Whoa. Okay. We're going to keep going here. Get this. The worst part of this is, how do you know it's bad enough that you should go to the doctor or a clinic or something? Is there a magic number? Is it how you feel? You know, then you have the man factor. You know, we never go to get something checked out until you put us, wheel us into the morgue. I've had those where it's like, oh, I can get this cough with NyQuil. I can get this cough with this. And then you're coughing and then you realize, oh, there's blood in there. Shit. I'm not dealing with that just yet, okay? But I figure one more day and then we'll see how this goes. There's a place nearby where you walk in and then they just tell you, oh, go to the ER. I don't want to deal with you. I'm too busy getting into the medical marijuana stash. I know it's not legal in Texas. You don't see me going outside, do you? All right, now, you bring any DVDs? How could they watch any movies? They have, like, the only HDTV they have in the place. Isn't it weird how hospitals have all these HDTVs out in the lobby showing all the advertisements and all the wonderful things that the hospital does? And then when you get in the room, it's this crappy little 3x4 box. What's the deal with that? I don't know. Oh, right. Sorry. I should probably. Who's next? Oh, Dionysus.
Hi, this is Dion with a couple of stories inspired by Cool. The first one is called Cool Dad. A photograph shows my father staring at the camera, interested but cool, about 6 months old. My mother found this attitude toward her and the world romantic and wise at first, then intolerable. She decided to make her man over from the ground up. When he responded with the same affectlessness, her suggestions became vituperative rants, but these were observed and catalogued with the same curious stare. When he approached death, after a short illness, we observed him in the same way. How would he react? Oddly, I now find that the world often looks on me with the same indifference, and I find it soothing. That's story number one. Now story number two, called Looking. Ku moistel darkness, far as we couldna see. It was the sound of time lapping at our snores. This way. And what way is that, my dear? The way we've come, just the way we've just come from now by its looks. And yet the way we must likely go now by its... We must or another, I said. We stood with the unseeable look of the lack of deciding on each dark face until, unreasonably, we stumbled off. It was some small dark object that brought me down to my surprise. But upon contact, my smear unoccluded went through the dark ground, and light from there shone. We had! Beep, beep, beep. That's the end.
Thank you, Dionysus. Oh, man. Now, I've got an HDTV as a second monitor here. See, I've got the laptop, and then the HDMI cable, and then the second monitor, and then the microphone, which is way off to the left. So when I try to read from the far right, it hurts my... There's got to be a better way. Right, I need to clear out all these tables in the corner and all this crap. I've got a whole bunch of Pez dispensers up on the shelf, but I bought more, so they're all piled up with books and things and stuff I'll never use. A-plus certification. When am I going to get my A-plus certification? I'm not repairing machines. Not dealing with that. Oh, well, uses PCI and that. And that. Just buy a new laptop. Sorry, what was I saying? Oh, serendipity. Yeah, here we go.
I Her skin was cool to the touch. Certainly not feverishly hot, but neither did it have that warm, comforting feel of health and vitality. It was distinctly unwelcoming, unpleasant, and very disconcerting. You wouldn't want to hold her hand, or hold her closely, skin against skin. You would shrink from her pallid fingers, and feel a compulsion to pull away from her embrace, your instincts compelling you to avoid the otherworldly coolness of her touch. I looked into her eyes, gently resting my hand against the softness of her cold cheek. Time of death. Somewhere around 3 hours ago.
Thank you, Serendipity. I think what I'm going to do is take this whole corner of the room and dump it out in the middle of the room and just start throwing things out. I haven't been in any of the papers or whatever, and, oh, you'll want to keep this, you want to keep... Yeah, keep this, but for what? It's not like I'm doing anything with it. It's just taking up room. It's in a pile. Well, there's room in a shelf in a closet, so I guess I could make... put a box out and put stuff... That's what I'll do. I'll finally clean up this corner so that we can put more crap here. Until then, I need to get this done. So, Chelsea, how's that for an introduction, huh? A little home improvement there.
Cool, by Chelsea. I was never one of the cool kids. I spent my life on the outside, looking in, wondering what it meant to be cool. I looked for some quantifiable thing that connected all of the cool kids and set them apart from kids like me. It took me into my late 20s to figure it out. The cool people were the ones who were uncomfortable with who they were, the ones who felt they needed to belong in one way or another, and that was never me. Oh well, I guess I'll never be cool. But that's okay, because I like me.
Thank you, Chelsea. Still with me here, guys? Okay. All right, so that goes there. I've got a whole pile in the middle of the room. I'm going to sort through it. I think I've got a spare camera in there. I've got a this, I've got a that. Oh, what a mess. But the good news is, at least I'm pretending to clean up. I'm going to sort out all the Pez dispensers, all the broken stuff, get out a trash bag. If I'm thinking about keeping something, I'll just throw it out. But if I need to keep something, get that in the closet where it'll be a big part of the mess in there. And then when I clean out the closet, it's gone. You know, have sort of my migration path, you know? Well, I should just throw it all out. Who cares, you know? What good is keeping this? You know, what good is keeping a broken camera 7 years old? Oh boy, I broke the screen when I put it in my bag and I didn't put it in its case. You know, I broke these sunglasses after 2 weeks. They were the first good pair of sunglasses I'd had in 10 years, and I just broke them. I had a great case for them, too. Broke them. I don't take care of my toys, but I do try to take care of you, especially Muncie. I can't even remember what we are this month. Something about a seal in a grave again? The rose? Said it, or penguins, or wrecking cubes? I can't cope anymore. I can't remember.
Greetings, roses. Munzee here by the grave with another charming bit of free associative nonsense of the sort you've come to know and, if not love, at least expect of me. Are you ready? Sing us in, seal.
Ba-ba-da, ba-ba, 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 ba-ba-da, ba-ba-da.
Crisis in Education by Christopher Monroe. He was too cool for school, but too legit to quit. And this, in a nutshell, was the crux of his dilemma. Would he stay and lose the cool he'd worked so hard to cultivate? Or quit, and in quitting be delegitimized in front of his peers? Quitters never win, but would caring about such victory damage his unflappable persona? Somebody had to let him know. Should he stay, or should he go? In the end, he made no choice at all, and was expelled in a hail of scandal and bitter recrimination, no longer cool nor legit. Merely unwanted. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's it for me this week, Roses. But remember, stay in school. Unless you're cool. In which case, Mr. T pities you, fool. Wow, I've been rhyming a lot in these outros lately.
Thank you, Munzee. Okay, while that was playing, I went, got a trash bag, started throwing things in there. I also, there's two drawers in the table in the living room of a whole bunch of old anniversary cards and other crap that you never look at again. So I needed to clear some space in those drawers for future cards that I'll never look at again. But also incense and other stuff. You know, got to have plenty of that. By the time I use up like 3 sticks of incense, I get like 4 or 5 packets of it. I should have like a guru room where it's just incense constantly burning, and I still wouldn't use up the stuff. And yeah, when I think incense, I think the Renaissance Festival. We haven't gone in a few years. This year, we're going. God damn it, we're fucking going. We are going. Have I said that we're going? Okay. What? Okay, so next up is Tom. Here we go with Tom. Stats or not, he is the man. He's a good guy. If you ever see him on the street, say, "Oh my God, get out of the street!" And don't run him over, because he's a good guy.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got 2 stories tonight. The first, a continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 45. For the first time since he began this journey with his mother, Timmy was totally alone, which lasted about 15 minutes. "Hello there, pilgrim," said the voice. "Oh, great," thought Timmy. Another spontaneous acolyte cozying up to their reluctant prophet. Timmy turned, gasped, fell to his knees. "It's you!" Radiant as a burning bush, the Duke smiled. "Timmy." "Yes, Duke. Call me Marianne. How about Mr. Morrison?" "That'll do, kid." Shit's about to hit the fan. 40 pistol-wielding desperados mean to turn this place into a ghost town. "What can I do?" asked Timmy. "Stay cool." And the second story. My, hey, hey. It's better to burn out than fade away. Rafe Waxman was the coolest kid in my high school. In 4 years, I never saw a single word exchanged in his presence. Just the slightest of nods, a 2-degree tip, and a reserved expression of all-knowing. Rafe was the lead singer in the school's house band, a rock and roll Sartre god. At my 40th high school reunion, this rather wrinkled and crumpled guy, dusted in the gray of age, was promoting his self-published CD. In the class bio it read, "Rafe Waxman, high school counselor, 25 years of service. How age takes us all, from cool to cold." And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. Well, I went through all the stuff, sorted it out, put all the trash in a trash bag. I found another pop filter that I'd had years ago. Why did I need to buy this one? And a whole bunch of two wireless mini keyboards. Why did I even need one of them? Wow, the drugs must have really hit me hard. But all kinds of other crap. A few photos that I remember fondly. The old Scrabble board, which I used to have pinned to the wall, which I don't anymore. I probably should put it back up there. A bunch of headsets. A bunch of cords that I have no idea where they go to, but better keep them. The moment you get a cord, okay? Get a little tie wrap or whatever and write on there what that cord goes to on the cord. All right. Little advice that I never follow myself. I'll give you some more advice that I don't follow myself after we enjoy Sing. You can take some time to sort through more of this stuff. And hopefully get this place cleaned up.
Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh, Chapter 31. In this installment, Amrik has brought Yogi to Chandigarh, capital of Punjab, where they're going to stay overnight at an orphanage for girls and home for widows. The station cab set them down in Mohali, a satellite city flanking Chandigarh, outside a red brick house. A gate sign read, Guru Ki Sharan Home. Come, Santaji, I have some work. We will stay overnight. Amrik knocked on the door. A young girl opened, in white Punjabi suit and dark blue turban.
Uncle Ji, she said with folded palms. Why Guruji ka khalsa?
Amrik added. Why Guruji ki fateh? Is Bibaji here? I have brought a friend.
This way, uncle. She is sitting in office.
Very good, bete. Your English is improving. Yogi, smiling, followed on behind. A host of little turbans peeped from rooms.
Uncle G, chorused girlish giggles.
Led to Bibi G, they both shared the Khalsa greeting spoken Sing to Sing, originating from the 10th Sikh master.
Sadaji, meet my sister, Amar Kaur. She cares for widows, daughters, and the orphans.
Sat Sri Akal, said Yogi. Amrik had coached him in the Sikh hello goodbye, their namaste, suitable for anyone to use, and also meaning the truth lives on forever.
I'm very happy to meet you, Bibiji. I didn't know Amrik had a sister.
Both of them laughed, sharing a private joke. She wore the same white clothes and lady's turban draped with chiffon, along with a curved knife on shoulder baldric. She's a Paka Sikh. Bibiji follows to the letter the Guru's code, while I dye my beard, tie and primp it up neat for business, or so I tell myself. I should keep a lion mane like yours. Yogi had forgotten his beaded locks and felt more mock hippie with a shin-length robe. Just then they heard a baby.
Please wait, said Amar.
She then returned, nursing an infant. Another moonshine doorstep baby left one cool night. It was time. Amrik explained their visit. The refuge housed 65 ruined lives. Widows and daughters, orphans of separatists killed in armed police encounters after Indira Gandhi attacked the Golden Temple with troops and tanks in 1984 and other leading Sikh shrines of the country. Thousands died through army massacres. The pogroms led to angered insurrection calling for creation of Khalistan, a buffer country next to Pakistan. A decade of guerrilla war ensued, dividing Sikh from Hindu, once close-knit communities who intermarried, with the eldest son often becoming a Sikh. Guru Ki Sharan meant the Guru's shelter. As Amar Kaur bottle-fed the child, Amrik Singh went on with his history, the residual grievances about Punjab and Nehru's broken promises after partition. Who can think we are not Indian? Yogi was lost. India should mean shanti, not loggerhead minorities and war. The mooting of a landlocked Khalistan seemed pure fan fiction. Now our boys have been led astray, with Lax now dead. Amrik said, "Waheguru." Amrik described Punjab as a lone woman in white dress, lying sideways with a gaping stomach wound, her soul blood history leaking away like oil. Now we have a generation of orphans. Our girls are trying to rebuild lives from nothing. So are there only girls and widows here? Yes, continued Amrik. Men burn and fight and die, but women are our ghee lamps. They keep alight the flame and pass it on. Amar Kaur broke in. He is right. India has long believed the fiction that a woman hasn't a soul. We are helping her find it. One day she will be the best guru of her children and life storyteller. I see you play an instrument, Yogiji. Later on, will you play for us? Our girls are talented at Shabad Kirtan. It was expected, but he wanted to stay silent. After Amrik, he knew this was another house of music and felt less the star. He should let hostesses lead the way. With classical Hindustani, he was an infant. The corridor Singhni, who had greeted them, sat at the harmonium, and another lass in dark blue turban, white suit, stocky body, tuned the tablas with some chunky wax, touching the treble head with silver hammer to meet the fundamental of the singer. Another bowed a sitar neck-like object, with the mournfulness of a dying swan. Amrik said, "It's called the Dilruba." Gurki Sharan was chorused again and again. He thought it was the home's well-chosen theme song. Their angelic voices overwrote life's pain and lifted them to the plane past right and wrong. Closing eyes, he submitted without understanding. Inside this singing garden, this fragrant psalm, the tight rows of the heart began expanding, pushing to sun, then grounding him in calm. His music, by the look of it, reached out, yet this Shabad Kirtan performed the opposite, and it did not seem to have one shred of doubt and sang without ambition as singing reached it. He was lifted from peaks to clouds and further on to the end of place, distant and wide. It made him feel how small he was on an aural bridge built from nothing. Sound voice printing, bricks in the air, instruments playing with no musicians, expanding him further, stepping up notes, lifting with heart and moving en masse. They walked across, then bounced on air and bounced again until the earth voice was calling him down. It was Amrik Singh riding above the refrain of girls joining together, no one bigger, no one smaller, asking him to unzip and play his cracked guitar. The guitar is longing for the tablas. The tablas are longing for the voice. The voice is longing for the breath, and the breath is longing for the ether. The ether is longing for the spark. The spark is longing for the skin. The skin is longing for the touch, and the touch is waiting for the touch. The touch is hoping for the cheek. The cheek is planning for the hand. The hand is reaching for the lips, and the lips are closing on the lips. The lips are running with the salt. The salt is smarting in the mouth. The mouth is reaching for the word, and the word is gasping in the sea. Yogi remembered a shelly beach with Margot. They picnicked near Cape Jarvis for the day. A tartan rug with the girls beyond sand tussocks, where wind creeps up and whispers in the ear. Don't forget what you saw along the way. Blonde paddocks creeping to the hills, orchard plots and grids of vineyard green, the highway hugging your car along the coast, the blue-green seagull surfline lapping land to the fingertip of a peninsula. The ocean calls to reach with one desire. Remember, you are part of something vast. A day of family whale watching, and much peace. Does faith alone open through the forehead to feel and see things beyond a sitting room? He had sat down humbled by some little girls with pure hearts and let go of his pride. So far, he'd always gone it alone, flittering from the shifting ordinals, from birth, from book to book, from state to state, without clear purpose, except an urge to find some place or person who might be a home. These orphans of militants had been forced to ask the question, how to make a stand, to sit down here and now and sing, just sing. It was getting dark. Yogi felt the need for fresh air. The sun was setting fast. An orange sea with drifting swan of cloud passed over the epi ball of sunset. And here were golden fireflies in the dusk, dancing in circular sweeps from shrub to fence. Yogi had only seen them once before in a Queensland rainforest, dossing in a shack of Rasta friends, the most part stoned and dull to luminous bugs flying outside their door. Now golden clouds lit the way ahead, yet connecting him to that rainforest past. Then he saw the parked car with two shadows. Santaji, you'd better come inside. There was a seriousness in Amrik's tone. Yogi complied. The door cracked closed behind. What's going on? Asked Yogi. Amrik led him to Bibi's office. I need to tell you, Yogi, this shelter is a victim of surveillance. He explained that plainclothes officers set lookout to clock their spy shift. Maybe they think a terrorist believed alive will turn up trying to see his wife or child. It is a game that Bibi is forced to play. And do they come? Yogi had to ask, but Amrik did not answer, and voices called. Dinner was served in lines upon the floor. The girls came round with dal and vegetable, another with curd and cucumber. Amrik dropped hot chapatis directly into hands. This was langar, the community kitchen feast served on steel thalis in Sikh temples. Perhaps the shock of surveillance cops outside made Yogi eat too fast, or maybe his stomach was better spiked with spicy food, not fear. They were leaving early, and they bid good night. The shelter was tight, so both the men were sharing. Yogi on top bunk shined his torch and wrote, his heart running swiftly to the village. Darling, why aren't we both going to the mountains? I came with Amrik Singh from Garamukteshwara, the brother of the woman in charge of this girl's shelter we're staying at. Leaving early, back in 10 days. Are you coping with the mud? Love you, Yogi. For Margot. Go talk with mountains, go away today. She said it in a dream last night. Right. Can mountains really stand and talk? Walk. In snow and cold with a leopard's eye? Try. Who can do this? I'm weak and faint. A saint. He would ask Barhai to pass this on to Marco. The early morning rose for recitation. Turban Singhinis sat in rows, cross-legged before the Granth, following their eldest ensconced behind the holy book, intoning. Then came the flowing hour of Kirtan, one long poem set to rhythmic ragas, effulgence sat deep down into his chest. And a nervous woman brought them paranthas. Yogi said thanks. Her pained look spoke out hope. Amrik passed his wad of stapled hundreds and Bibi passed a quarto envelope. Can you carry this, Santaji? Amrik asked. Keep it flat in your guitar case. My pleasure. Their taxi zoomed them onward to the bus stand. You've been listening to Foreign Madam and the White Yogi, a verse novel in progress by Chris Mooney Singh. If you'd like to see more of my work, go to my website at chrismooneysingh.com or check the program notes. Catch up with you next week. Thank you.
Thank you, Singh. My God, it's a day where I'm not rambling that much and we're already into 45 minutes, man. What? How does this happen? I don't know. Okay, it looks like Julie sent in her recording late, so I'll have to add that to the stack here. But let's see, we've got Tom, Singh, Zach Man. Zach actually sent in two stories here. So let's get Zach Man going while I get the rest of the stuff organized, okay?
Raphael, I would like you to see one of my favorite shows, then I will watch Todd and the Book of Pure Evil like you advised. I am not sure if I am the target audience for this television show, said Raphael. Well, you like Firefly, right? Yes. You like Animaniacs and Red Dwarf? Yes, but I don't see how that is related. Since we both like those, you should like this show I like too. Maybe. What do you think? Okay, okay. I like the show, but I think Rainbow Dash could be about 20% cooler. Woe is me. I am freezing, and I think I'm going to die. Why are you wearing a t-shirt? Oh, Charles, in October, 50 Fahrenheit is t-shirt weather. If you are already wearing a parka to keep warm, what are you going to do to keep warm when it gets really cold? It gets colder than this? Really cold. What is it that keeps you warm when it gets really cold? Admittedly, I have too big a layer of fat, but what really keeps me warm is watching people who moved here from mild climates squirm.
Thank you, Zach Man. Two for your thoughts. Okay, so I've got trash to take out. I've got a little bit of laundry to do. I think this is going to be a productive Sunday morning, despite the fact that I feel like dog ass. And getting the podcast done. So, a whole bunch of stuff in the room, the corner here. Not a pile of junk anymore. Now the pile of junk is in a bag that I need to drag out to the trash. Probably along with three other trash bags. Probably need to dig up the garden because the flowers, they... I need to garden weasel the hell out of that to break up the soil. Even though I put in like 7 bags of potting soil. No, that's not going to do it. No, that never works. And the mint and the lemon balm died. The chives are doing okay, you know, because we need chives. And I have no idea what that other pot has. Probably dead animals in it. So, here's Lizzie. To cheer you up, there have been no 500-word snatches. So, believe me, your snatch is wordless. And I'm going to regret... I've avoided saying that for so long, but it's wordless. Words fail to describe. I'm going to just hand it to Lizzie.
Ronnie knew nothing about card games, and his buddies made sure they let him know exactly that each time they met for beers and poker. So, one night, he tried to look cool and threw his cards onto the table, solemnly saying, "Here, the dead man's hand." His buddies roared laughing. "What a loser," he chuckled. I was thinking, the fifth card is a 2 of clubs and not the 9 of diamonds. His buddies saw Ronnie swinging a club at them. But they never made out Ronnie's buddy from the gym, hiding in the darkest corner of the room. This was my story for this week, dropped by my blog at lizzygoodcuff.blogspot.com, and talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you, Lizzie. Have a little sip of green tea. I've got energy. I've got energy here, but I don't feel well. You got all the power you need, but you just don't have the gears to move it with. Spate? Okay, let's go to Spate. You got Spate, Cliff, Norval Joe, Julie, Planet Z, and then we're done. We'll get this done here. We'll move on to next week. We'll start off fresh next week. So let's go with Spate and keep this going here.
Hey, it's me, Spate. My story this week is called Hash, Part 2. And here it is. Davidson refused to wear clothes, choosing to remain naked like an ape in a cage. 10 days from execution, what the fuck were they gonna do to him? Well, he didn't think they'd turn on the damned air conditioning. Hell, he didn't even know they had air conditioning. He'd shiver, but when his mind was set, he was a rusted bolt. Talk of Davidson's nude stand spread throughout the pen with excitement. This was not some ear-hustling chin music. This was real. To them, he was the coolest of cool, staring down the big jab of Warden's needle.
Thank you, Spate. Okay, so let's see. That set of headphones, my emergency headphones are up there. I'm getting a set of Halo 2s. Not Halo 2, the game. Jabra Halo. Because we all know what happened the last time I had a Jabra Bluetooth piece. But I'm getting the Halo so that I'll have some wireless things to listen on if I need wireless things to listen on. I have two Plantronics M series, but one is for work and one I brought with on the trip and now I can't find it. So I'll find it just as the new one arrives. But it's a standard music listening headset that you can also plug in. So when I run out of battery power, just plug it in and I can listen on it. Although it does have a microphone on it, I'm sure that it sounds like dog ass. But when people go in voice, go in voice, you know, leave me alone. So, that'll work out great. I wish the TV had Bluetooth. That's the one regret. We got and I thought, oh, it's got all these features. And it works with Netflix and everything. It works great. Just, you know, it would be nice to have, you know, wireless Bluetooth and then I can get a keyboard for it and surf on it, even though I've got the laptop. Because, you know, why not? More wireless keyboards to get, right? I wonder if the wireless little dinky keyboard works with the TV.
Good morning, everyone. Before I get started with this week's stories, I just wanted to say something about the topic of cool. I know we all have our own styles and habits of writing, but I believe the coolest way to write is to wait until the very last moment and then scramble frantically to write, record, and send my story in. So, here I am at 10:30 on a Saturday night, trying desperately to be cool by writing a couple 100-word stories, because that's what all the cool kids are doing. Anyway, here's my first story on the topic of cool. They said that Davis was cool under fire. When the enemy had his company pinned down, he held his position. While the rest of his men returned fire blindly at their hidden foe, he stayed still. Low on ammo, out of contact with anyone in authority, his comrades were close to panicking. They were encouraged by his calm patience. When the enemy commander strutted onto the street to demand their surrender, Davis stood up and killed him with one shot. He never told anyone that he'd actually fallen asleep and only woke up in time to take that fateful shot. And here's a second story on the topic of cool. This one's slightly autobiographical. Fairmount, Indiana proclaims itself as being, quote, where cool was born. The billboard also shows an iconic image of James Dean, native son. I'm sure the marketing guru who created this thought it was a great way to create tourist appeal. After all, with an aging population, a shrinking tax base, and the exodus of each graduating class for better opportunities, the town needs all the help it can get. So, if they can make a buck off of a dead actor, more power to them. Besides, we all know who the truly cool Fairmount native really is, don't we? Right? Okay, that's all I have. Thanks a lot, and talk to you next week.
Oh, right. That was Cliff. Sorry, folks. I should have introduced him, then put in the... I could go back and... No, I'm not going to go back. I'm just going to keep moving forward. And then when we're done, we're done. Say my apologies, say my regrets, and then move forward. It happens. Life goes on. Wait, I already have a Frisbee on the wall. Just, this place is a mess. Right. Narvel Joe? Sure. Let's keep going. We're almost done here. We're almost done. I'm saying this for my benefit, not yours, because I never thought this would get done.
Hello, this is Philip Narvel Joe Carroll of NarvelJoe.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 417 with the prompt of cool. 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 So here's my story. A boy came to his mother and said, "I dreamed I was a dragon. Can I be a dragon?" "That would be cool, but not possible," she said. Another day, he said, "I dreamed I was a girl. Can I be a girl?" "You can dress like a girl," she said. "Will clothes make me a girl?" "There are operations and drugs to make you look like a girl." "Will I have babies?" "No, you'll still be a girl's spirit in a boy's body." "Okay, then," the boy said. "I'd rather be a dragon's spirit in a boy's body." Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Narvel Joe. So we ran out of cough drops yesterday, and Jana didn't put up her grocery shopping list thing, and I would have put it on there if it was up there, but she didn't have it up there, so... She went out, got groceries, and I was like half asleep. The ball game, Chad Qualls, sucks. So I was coughing all that, and Jim was like, "Do you need anything?" It's like, and I'm out of it. So it's like, I don't know, cough drops. What kind do you want? I don't care. What kind do you want? I don't care. You know, when you why do people ask me things that are like cough drops? What? I'm going to give a fancy specific brand? Just anything that works. You know, if it tastes like shoe, it's not like I'm going to remember what it tastes like because I'm out of it. So I don't know. What do you think? Should you just have everything stockpiled? The bodega nearby, just down the street, has everything. And it has all the right brands of things. And it's they charge 10 times as much as, and who cares? That's what it's there for. Here's Julie. Let's just keep going, and we're almost done.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Happy Easter. It's Julie offering up a 100-word poem on the topic of cool. And it's called, "These Days I Am Cool." The days pass and weeks fade. My climate does not depend on season. I know I can get fresh lavender roses. There is always a reason they are ripe for the buying. $30 a bunch, free vase included. The days pass, the weeks fade, the house is frozen, the climate and mood controlled. Open the windows and rattle the doors, make the chill go away. What's left of me inside is still warm and thinking, feeling even. I spend my days and nights tiptoeing, dancing in swirls around the moods of those who depend on me to keep my cool. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and thanks to Lawrence for putting this together every week. This is Julie, and the shameless plug is musepalace.wordpress.com. We'll see you all next week. Take care.
Thank you, Julie. Just a reminder to folks, if you're running late or inspiration strikes you at the 13th hour, just go ahead, record your story, send it in. If I've already put up the show, I'll go ahead and put your story up in a separate post on the feed. That way people can enjoy it, the two or three people that actually listen to these, and they'll have a good time. I went into there's this thing called WordFence. It's like some sort of security log cleanup thing that uses up more and more of your processes on your system in order to drag it down. It does caching and this and that. And I'm like, really? How about more of those? You've temporarily exceeded your resource limit warnings. I should probably get my own server. Probably put it in the colo and just, you know, yeah, because, you know, two or three people listening to this, they need their own dedicated server. although I should get, I know, whatever, just send him in, we'll get him up on the feed. You know, like this Planet Z guy, he's always late. So he comes last every week. Such a slacker.
Cool, whispers the bartender. The bar is crowded, and there's no way I could hear him. But it's easy to read his lips. Look in the mirror and say, cool, without speaking. Can you see it? Can you hear it in your head? Just imagine it. How the front teeth drag across the rolling lower lip. What? That's not a C. That's an F? So the bartender called me a fool? He's been calling me a fool all this time? That's not cool at all. What the shit have I been tipping him for? I'm going to Taco Bell.
Okay, that's it for this week. I'm going to make up another batch of orange juice and just... oh, I'm just going to pound that. I still haven't touched the six-pack of Bass that I have. What is wrong with me? It used to be when I had a six-pack of Bass in my fridge, it would be gone the next day. That's because I dormed with Bill Hawks and he was a drunk. So thank you, everyone, for listening, being a part of the weekly challenge, oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. Check out the links in the show notes to all the people who contributed and aren't too embarrassed to share where they put their stuff. Give writing a try. Give it. The next week's challenge is run. So head on back. We'll be here next week. Maybe I'll be feeling better. Maybe I'll be dead if that's the case. You'll be waiting a while. But no, that's not happening anytime soon. The gypsy woman said, not into the planets align. Right. Thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.